From John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying within the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, he said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The following poem, which I'm about to read, was written by British pastor Christopher Burkett in response to today's scripture. It reminds us of the hurried and worried nature of our life when we focus upon the cultural narrative of this world versus God's narrative, often then missing the gift of inspired, mindful appreciation of Christ's shifting presence in our lives. You've heard the expression, running blindly, right? You see, when we are in a state of constant motion based on culture and not Christ, it is easy to be blinded by other than his direction. His direction that shows us what is really important in the scheme of eternity. But without it, we miss the forest for the trees, or better said, we mistake Jesus for the gardener. Running, running. Always running, time is short, waste it not, time is money, spend it well, time is lost, the gain all gone, time flies, it said, human fear, human care. Looking, looking, always looking, what fulfills, where is it found, answers faint, slim, in questing search, love's labor lost, in cruel eyes, ambition strives and dreads its loss. Looking, looking, always looking. Standing, standing, always standing, lost in wonder, lost in gloom. This queue closes, this house full, only an onlooker to another's life, on the sideline, longing to be seen. Standing, standing, always standing. Deathly, deathly, always deathly, powers abuse, hoping smashed. Stone in place, nothing shifts, blood is stilled in clammy rigor. It all ends in death's dark veil. Deathly, deathly, always deathly. Tell me, always tell me, truths I wish for but cannot hear, meetings promised, glanced unreal, voices heard, yet souls are deaf, understand perhaps, or wholly miss the point. Tell me, always tell me. So stands Mary at the cross's foot, waiting, waiting, endlessly waiting for her Lord's final scream. Weeping witness to the awful hour, Mother Mary, Mary, and Mary Magdalene, three women stand while others flee. Deathly, deathly, always deathly. Mary to the tomb, despairing, comes. What's to do but presence grieving? Panic-stricken, he's not here. Running, running, always running, Mary to the tomb, breathless comes. They go running, running shoulder to shoulder to the empty place, then outpaced, standing, standing, staring in. Where's the thing to change a mind, change a heart? Simon Peter, gasping, goes on in, looking, looking, always looking, but not seeing. Home they go, confused, bewildered. So stands Mary, weeping, weeping, but not seeing angels there. Where is my Lord? I do not know. I do not know. Standing, standing, always standing, onlooker no more. Stand now, stand up, see him for who he is. Hear a voice, see a smile, don't hold on. Stand face to face. Cling and not forlorn. No past rework, no possession. He is free, and so is she. Running, running, always running. There is news, there is wonder, there is life anew in you, in me. Explain it not, only witness with conviction. Tell me, always tell me. Mary, tell me what you know. Tell it straight and tell it slant, till my heart in your words, trusting, knows for sure the living Lord. Looking, looking, always looking for the hope that springs ever new. Standing, standing, always standing for the truth that won't be broken. Running, always running, eagerly sharing love's burgeoning. Tell me, Mary, tell me the one who spoke to you that day, lived in you, and lives in me. I have seen the Lord, and life blossoms. What is deathly will not hold sway. Looking, standing, running my life's course, glimpses eternity and time spent. At this point in our worship service, we were blessed by a solo sung by Paula Brown Burton. She sang Chris Tomlin's song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. That audio link is found on this sermon site. The message. Eyes that cannot see clearly and gain glimpses of eternal joy and hope and promise have little to do with actual physical blindness. Just as wisdom and the gift of discernment does not always go with age. Just as wealth has little to do with well-being or standing still, having anything to do with peace. Having spiritually enhanced vision, the ability to see through the lens of Christ changes everything. And it is that spiritual sight which the author of Amazing Grace addresses. The blindness of which he speaks had everything to do with his own social and spiritual blindness. It is a blindness that our cultural narrative places upon us, whether it be political, social, economic status, sexual and gender identity, race, how we learn to define success, equating busy with worthy projection. Actually, it's a mixture of all that we know, our experience, which create the paradigms in which we exist. Accepting a shift in that paradigm is extremely difficult, though, and it's often hard to maintain unless you keep your eyes fixed on the life, the teachings, and the commandments of Jesus. Mary, first to the tomb in our text, was no different from us. Her cultural narrative informed her of her place in society and how one like Mary was expected to function within it. She was, well, a woman. Some say of ill repute when they mix up their Bible stories. I mean, there were a whole lot of Marys those days. She probably spent most of her time before Jesus keeping busy, running here and there to acquire her provisions for the day. You know, being a single woman, it was probably all she had time to do. And then something happened. She believed and followed the teacher Jesus, and then Mary repented, which simply means she changed her course. Mary, you see, was healed of her blindness to her worth and value. Yes, she stopped being defined by culture and instead allowed her eyes to be open to a new paradigm and was thus defined by Christ. Think of how powerful that must have been for a first century Hebrew woman to have found peace and hope and purpose in the teachings and welcome of Jesus. It was an unlikely place for a single Hebrew woman to find equality and purpose. I mean, he was a Jewish rabbi surrounded by a tight-knit group of testosterone. But Jesus was more than what he seemed. Jesus wasn't about cultural norms when it came to what and who his message and teachings were for, because Jesus welcomed all people to his table of grace, purpose, and healing. Jesus encouraged men and women, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, widowed, orphans. He invited Mary to remove the blinders placed upon her by culture to see as he saw. And so the story goes. She did. Once was blind, but now she sees. Her chains were removed. She was free to follow, learn, be cared for, and care for Jesus. Never leaving his side, never to betray or deny him like so many others did. Mary would take her place beside his mother Mary, weeping and waiting at the foot of the cross. It is no surprise that Mary would be the first to run to the tomb. The man who truly valued her had died. The least she could do was gently care for his body. So in her grief, she went to where he was taken and found it empty. In despair, she fled the tomb in spite of what the angelic messenger shared. Yes, in spite of all that she had seen and experienced like so many, she began to slip back into the spiritual blindness as before. losing sight of who Jesus had been, blinded her to who he truly was, her Savior. No wonder she mistook him for a gardener, worrying, waiting, running back into cultural blindness. Here, too, we can identify with Mary if we're honest. I mean, most of us in this room have heard this Easter story or some form of it 1,000 times. We've prayed prayers of acceptance. We've put fish on our cars and crosses around our necks. We've participated in Bible studies. My goodness, most of us have scripture on the ready to recite. Tune in to Spirit FM. We've sung along with those songs like we mean it. My chains are gone, and open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And then, why, like Mary, do we so quickly forget the enlightenment of the good news and continue waiting and worrying and running back into the darkness? I'll give you a hint. Even though our ears have heard, even if in fish-clad cars we drive and wear those neck-bound crosses, our singing, open the eyes of my heart, or amazing grace, opening our eyes, will do us little good unless we truly open our eyes to see Jesus, to see him for who he truly is and who he calls each of us to be. With our spiritual eyes shut, it will be easy for our earthly eyes to mistake Jesus as just a good guy or a gardener at best. But the Easter story didn't end with a case of mistaken identity due to temporary blindness. Though Mary's blindness returned, it wasn't for long. It ended the moment Jesus called her name. When Mary's eyes failed her, the heart that Jesus transformed did not. The man, her Lord, who loved her into loving herself, continued to do so. The man, her Lord, whom she followed without fail, would never leave her alone in that garden. That man, that same Lord, that same Jesus, will not leave you alone in the dark either. If only you open your eyes. Really open your eyes and see him. Would you pray with me? My God, grant us the strength to stop running blindly, spinning, waiting, listening, longing to be set free. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.